you why I'm a little excited about this topic. The epics of Satan. No, the eight epics of Satan. I just thought of something. Eight is the number of a new beginning. Hey, everybody, Martin Zender here. Eight is the number of a new beginning. If you take the numerics in the scripture and, you know, they assign a numerical value to each letter of the Greek alphabet, for instance, in the New Testament, any passage that has to do with Christ involves a number eight or some sort of product of the number eight. Eights are all over Christ. It's a new beginning. Noah, eight people in the ark. The 8,000 years since Adam, the 8,000 year period is the new heavens and the new earth. So this is really interesting that eight are the number of epics, the time periods involved with Satan. Meaning that this is, maybe this isn't a strict meaning, but this is my spiritual instinct now. This is Zender talking, not scripture. Satan will have a new beginning after his eighth epic. But wait a minute, it's not just conjecture. I know this for a fact. And I'm going to tell you what that is as I get to epic number eight. Why am I spending time with Satan again? He's a major player. First of all, in your life, is he not? He's vexing you constantly. He's an agitator. He's an adversary. He opposes you. He was made to oppose you so that you would have a struggle and a battle. Is it working? You got a struggle? You got a battle? Yeah, okay. It's working. It's all in the purpose of God. And in the unveiling, which we're studying, thus the Revelation series, Satan is presented as the dragon, and he persecutes the saints, and he has a contracted time period of 3.5 years, described in the unveiling as 42 months, when he is let loose. And what does he do? He takes the four religions of the world and brings them into one religion. I'm going to prove this to you by showing you that the number of horns and wings and heads of the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7, when you add them together, they make up the horns, the heads, and the wings of the one beast. Maybe there's no wings in that beast, but the horns and the heads of the wild beast of Revelation headed by Satan. That's his major industry today, to drive the world to one religion, because his goal is to wipe out the worship of God from the face of the earth. Wipe out the worship of God. And he changes his tactics as time goes on. How does he do it? Not with tanks, not with armies. He does it through teaching. The word demon, is the root word there is teach. Is teach. Talked about that before. And so Satan is infiltrating the world. The best way to drive God out is with religion. I tell you this, the best way to drive God out of the world, the mention of God, the talk of God, is to use religion. But let me show you the genius, the diabolical genius of that, is that you're doing this with people who think they're worshiping the true God. They think they're seeing the true God, but it's a false image. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. So he's not going to just out and out blow things up. He's going to lie. He's deceptive, to say the least. He's an imitator. Imitation, always imitation. Antichrist doesn't mean against Christ, it means instead of Christ. So we're looking at a pleasant little pill, we're looking at a program, a religion that would appear to be fixing all the wrongs of the world. People are already into it. There's already millions and millions and millions of people into the four religions. How many Christians are there in the world? Everybody is proud of it. I see churches down here with the frickin' flag. Christianity has a flag. It's a white field and the blue thing in the corner with a red cross. Many thousands, millions of people. How many people are Muslims? Millions, and they're all happy. Everybody's happy in their own little religion. How many people are Buddhists and Hindus? A lot. So everybody's content and happy. So what fantastic thing would it be if all these religions came together in a kumbaya moment, instigated by the adversary himself? Oh, that would be the ultimate. You know, just like Obama wants a single-payer healthcare system. He wants to amalgamate everything into one. And I'm sure they were thrilled when they invented the League of Nations. And what do you call that crazy thing now in New York? Yeah, Yeah, the World Council. See, I'm so out of it, and I so don't care about it. It's so stupid. League of Nations and the United Nations. It's so everybody wants to make things one. So they think it's a great accomplishment. Oh, we've taken these several parts, and we've made it into one. Isn't it great? So Satan is doing that, and he's going to do it in his third epic. We talked about the first epic of Satan at his time, from the time of his creation to the time when he was pondering, like the Grinch on Mount Crumpet, the foundation of the earth. The second epic was when we meet him in the Garden of Eden. And here he's automatically, immediately trying to foul the human race. Because I think, you know, when if he was around at the foundation of the earth, then he knows that something bad is going to happen. He thought maybe at first that this is good, but then he got the wind that the earth was being created for the coming of the Son of God. And so he wants to foil that. And so he's going to whisper insinuations to Eve while her husband is off hunting armadillos or whatever he's doing, picking corn. I don't know what he's doing out there. So he's gone, and he puts a question in her mind that God is their best friend and has their best interest in mind. Anyway, the human race goes into sin. Satan is probably thinking, scored, da-ding, da-ding. Little does he know, the prophecy comes from God that one who will issue forth from the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Satan's probably going, ah, jeez. So, again, he goes to plan C, which will be kill the Christ. You know, just like the Joker. Kill the Batman. No, kill the Christ. Right? So, that's what he's going to do. So, that's his second epic. He becomes the deceiver of the human race. Number one, the observer of the foundations of earth. Number two, the deceiver of the earth. Three, this is when his most mobile time. He goes from heaven to earth at his whim. From heaven to earth, heaven to earth. We found him in heaven at the throne of God when the case of Job came up. And there's God saying, have you considered my servant Job? And I've always said, try not to bring my name up there to Satan, okay? I think he's already gotten wind of it, and he's been pummeling me for 23 years running now. But anyway, Job really got the physical heat, didn't he? And his family died, and that was Satan appearing at the throne of God. But then, in the days of our Lord, Satan comes to earth. He comes to earth, and he takes our Lord to the pinnacle of the temple, and he shows him somehow runs one of the most fantastic PowerPoint presentations anyone's ever shown, shows our Lord all the world kingdoms. Says, this all can be yours if the price is right. But our Lord refused the adversary. But this is what he does now. He can go to and fro on the earth. And he admitted that himself, didn't he? To and fro on the earth. In the future, he is going to be cast down. Epic number four, E-P-O-C-H, begins when Satan is cast out of heaven. Because now, my friends, he is in heaven. But he can be on earth if he wants. Pachoom, pachoom, pachoom. That's how quick. And by the way, that's how quick we're going to travel. Oh, I got to say this. I meant to say this at the beginning. This is a comfort to me that Satan has eight epics, that there are time periods allotted to him. I mean, he could be listening to this show, and it might frustrate him. He might turn the channel. Like somebody could say, what's on? What are you watching? Ah, that Zender's on again. Turn him off. Turn Zender off. I don't like to hear how my whole career is already mapped out. That would be frustrating for him, that his entire career is mapped out, and I'm about to expose his future, because I know his future. So that he's probably turning the channel right now because he doesn't want to hear it. But how comforting is this same truth to us, that we have epics, E-P-O-C-H-S, time periods in our lives marked out by God ahead of time, ahead of time. It has to be ahead of time. You think it's a fantastic thing that God can tell the future? Prophecy is amazing. How does God do that? He does it because he tells the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46:10. It's really not hard to tell the future when you've already decided the future before the beginning even started. And that's what God did. and I've said this before, some people still don't understand this, and they're always asking me questions about the absolute and the relative. That's fine. I try to be patient. But folks, when God lays out the end from the beginning, it means that the future is just as set in concrete as the past. There's no changing it. But we have the gift of ignorance, and we go through it. We don't know what's going to happen. It tries our faith. It makes us cry, makes us look to God. All this is due to our ignorance of it. But God is not ignorant of it. He knows everything. 1 John 3:20. For anybody who doesn't believe that God is in control or knows everything, there's a verse that says he knows everything. 1 John 3:20. Some people aren't impressed with that. I don't understand how they couldn't be. So Satan, it's all mapped out. Here's the map. In the future, he is going to be cast down to earth and left to rage for a brief period on the earth. He's going to rage for 3.5 years. And he's going to, John sees this happening. He sees it. There's a date when Satan is cast out, and he sees him as a dragon at that time. Of course, when he's appearing on earth, you're not seeing him as a dragon. That's how John saw him and describes it as a dragon. But if you see him on the earth in the form of the man of lawlessness, for instance, it doesn't look like a dragon. That's the secret of lawlessness, in that lawlessness is presented as righteousness and light and enlightenment. There's the term of the New Age movement, enlightenment. Are you an enlightened one? Stay away from this. It sounds so holy and spiritual, but it's the playground of Satan, because he's disguised as a messenger of light. That's the key to understanding this fourth epic of his. He's going to rage upon the earth. That's why this 3.5 years is going to be the worst time period that the earth has ever known. And we're going to get to this specific verse, but I always thought it fascinating. He knows, this is a quote, knowing his time is short. He knows his time is short. But for some reason, it doesn't stop him. He just keeps doing it. I mean, if you knew that the end of your raging was going to come, and I would think that if you knew that, you might have a hint as to the nature of that end. We'll get to that with epic number 5 or 6 tomorrow. You would think that it would make an impression on you, and you would just sit down and say, let's get it over with. Let me just jump into the abyss, the submerged chaos now. Let's just get it over with. That way I could save myself 3.5 years of utter rage, where my blood pressure would go up. My cholesterol levels would probably be through the roof. I'll just spare myself that, since I know that in 3.5 years, I'm going to be locked into the submerged chaos. But instead, he must either put this completely out of his mind, like he has a hint of it, but he puts it out of his mind, or else he cannot put 2 and 2 together in his mind and come up with 4. I'm not sure which of those 2 scenarios is the correct one, because I don't know the mind of Satan. I don't spend too much time trying to obtain the mind of Satan. I'm far too busy exercising the mind of Christ, you see. So Satan would distract me from my holy quest. So this has been part 2. Of the 8 epics of Satan. I thought I'd be done with it, but I think we got on some interesting sidetracks today. And tomorrow, we're going to possibly finish the epics of Satan. And this is really fascinating to draw the analogy between his career and ours. It's almost as if his career is clearer. His career is actually, since he's an individual and he's famous, infamous, there's more information about his career than ours. And yet, could you possibly imagine that your life and the times of your life are any less sure and certain than Satan's? I would hope not.